الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. صدق الله العظيم. Dear brothers in Islam, there are many events in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which are very important and which change the course of the history. In fact, each and every event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very significant, because it left a big impact on the humanity. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to create or establish Islamic calendar, he looked into the events in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to which of the events could become a milestone, so that we can start the Islamic calendar accordingly. Obviously, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a new light, beginning of a new era, so that could have become landmark. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he departed this world, that was the discontinuity of wahi. Wahi yani the connection with the heavens. No more wahi, no more connection with the divine. Nobody can claim that Allah said something, unless you see it in the Quran, or unless you find it in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also such event which can become a very turning point in the history of Islam. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they agreed to make the hijrah, migration from Makkah to Medina, as a milestone in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hijrah was not a one-off event. You know, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they migrated from Makkah to Medina. Or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he just traveled from Makkah to Medina like people travel. Okay, it took some days, but some journeys, they take time. So hijrah was not a journey like those journeys, or an event like those events which happen in people's lives. But actually, hijrah was a big change in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and also in the history of Islam. And you can see a clear difference between the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah and the life of Muslims in Medina. Makkah was the early period of Islam. Makkah was a period of da'wah. Makkah was a period of, you know, accepting the circumstances, trying to compromise with the situation, remaining patient, accepting the hardship, struggling, and so on. In Medina, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, and when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu migrated to Medina, it totally changed. The Yahud of Medina, they were already waiting for a prophet, for a Messiah. So prophet came. Although he is not from among them, but a prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Allah's choice. Nobody can change the choice of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Allah knows where to keep His message. Okay, the Yahud, they were waiting for a prophet, but that prophet was going to be from Banu Ismail. That prophet was going to be Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the prophet whom they were waiting arrived. Arab tribes were struggling, were fighting for a long period of time. They needed somebody who can be a head figure in the community, whom they can accept as judge, whom they can accept as a wise person, whom they can expect to be their ruler, their leader. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina, he became the natural ruler of Medina. This is very strange in the history of humanity, because there is no leadership without bloodshed. There is no leadership without hostility. There is no leadership without hatred. There is no leadership without suppressing others. In the history of humanity, you have to, you know, move so many people away from your path so that you can become the leader. There will be so many contestants. When Rasulullah SAW arrived in Medina, people found what they were looking for. So he became the natural. He did not claim to be leader. Rasulullah SAW, he did not claim to be king. In fact, Allah gave him a choice to be king. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him choice to be a prophet and a king. And there is nothing wrong with that. Some Anbiya alayhi salam, they were Nabi and also a king. Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam was Nabi and a king. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was Nabi and also king. So there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was given a kingdom which nobody was given like before or perhaps even after, right? Allah gave him authority over jinns. Allah gave him authority over the air. Allah Azza wa Jal taught him the language of the birds, Mantiq al-Tayr. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the option to be Nabi and a king. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he was everything in Medina, but he did not claim to be a king. He said, I am a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I am a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. He chose to be a Nabi and Abd. I am a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is a fact. And also, I am a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. I just want to live and be like an ordinary person. But people happen to choose him. People happen to like him. People happen to love him. And people happen to treat him like a leader. And he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Medina, now we have a different situation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he established Masjid in Quba. He established Masjid in Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started teaching Islam to many tribes. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started sending delegations to many world leaders. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was laying the foundation for the first Muslim community or the first Muslim state, so to say. So Medina was totally different. That's why Sahaba radiallahu anhum chose the migration, the hijrah, to be the fasil. Fasil, yani something that separates between two major parts of the lives of Muslims. So they chose hijrah to be the guide for the Islamic calendar. And that's how Muharram is the first month in the Islamic calendar. And they were true. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was right, and Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they are always right collectively. That hijrah was such an important thing. They wanted Muslims to remember all the time. Otherwise, so many things happen and people forget. But hijrah, people remember. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he migrated from Makkah to Medina. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they migrated from Makkah to Medina. Why is that? Because with the hijrah
of Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the help of Allah azza wa jal came to establish Islam. With the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, Islam was established. Although it was possible for Allah azza wa jal to let and allow the Muslims to establish Islam in Mecca first, but Islam was established in Medina first. Mecca came very late. In fact, Mecca just 2 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaving this world. Year 8. Fath of Mecca was in year 8. So even less than 2 years before the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Islam was established in Medina first. That's why ulama have mentioned that hijrah is a continuous amal. Meaning, okay, there was a need that Muslims, they had to migrate from Mecca to Medina. There was a time when it was fard, when it was obligatory to migrate from Mecca to Medina. There was a time when Islam was not accepted without migration to Medina. If somebody accepts Islam and does not migrate to Medina, their Islam is not valid. Islam does not count. Hijrah was a condition for the acceptance of Islam. There was a time, unless if somebody has excuse. However, this can happen again any time when a person feels that their deen is under threat. They cannot manage the affairs of their religion. When Muslims feel, when an individual feels, forget about the whole, when one person feels that I cannot preserve my deen, I cannot protect my family, then it becomes obligatory to do migration. It becomes obligatory. Because ma la yatimmu al-wajib illa bihi fa huwa wajib. This is a rule in Sharia. If something is necessary to achieve a wajib, that means also becomes wajib. If wajib cannot be achieved without a certain measure, then that measure becomes wajib. Like wudu and salah. Salah is fard, right? We cannot pray salah without wudu. So wudu also becomes fard. Salah is fard. Tahara of badan is fard. Because we cannot pray salah without tahara of badan. Ma la yatimul wajib illa bi fahu wajib. When it becomes difficult for people to protect their deen, then migration becomes obligatory. That's why this is something which people need to understand very clearly, and which we need to convey to the people in a nice way, that protecting your deen is fard. And so if you are living in a place where you cannot pray salah, where you cannot educate your children, if you are living in a place where you don't have access to ulama, if you are living in a place where you don't have company which can encourage you to do good, if you are living in a place where your family does not have support to practice Islam, then it becomes wajib to move from that place. We cannot say, I could not do anything. What can I do? You know, I happen to buy a house 50 miles from such and such area, 30 miles from such and such area. I cannot go to masjid. There is no madrasa there. There is no alim there. There are no brothers. What are you doing there? What are you doing there? If there is no masjid, what are you doing there? If there is no Muslim community around you, what are you doing there? People cannot imagine living in an area where there is no electricity. We cannot imagine living in an area where there is no water, where there is no hospital in the near vicinity, where there is no school, for example. Protecting our deen is far more important than having electricity. Believe me, we can survive without electricity. Even in the United States, in Europe, in modern times, in 21st centuries, lots of people don't have electricity. Many people live without electricity in America. You can survive. Why not? In fact, they are more healthy. They are happier. Right? They have good families without electricity. You can survive. Why not? But deen is the essential need. Deen is the crucial need. Imagine Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had to leave everything in Mecca, their land, their business, their property, their relatives, their families, you know, uncles, aunties, cousins, nobody. They just had to flee with their skin. Many people struggled. In fact, the stories of migration are very fascinating. Our Prophet ﷺ's story itself is very nice and beautiful. And, you know, it has so many lessons. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their stories are very interesting and very, you know, full of wisdom and full of inspiration. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they left everything. In our times, in order to protect your deen, you are not required to make such migration that you leave your home, you leave your property, you leave your business. No. You can make nice arrangement. People can make all the arrangements. In fact, you can have somebody who can move your stuff. You don't need to do anything. Right? Some time ago, I moved from house to house. So I, you know, asked some people for advice. So some brothers told me, you don't need to do anything if you want. You just choose a company, right, and tell them what to do, and you can just, you know, have chewing gum, and they can do anything, everything for you. Brothers, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, which are upon us, we need to appreciate these blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And appreciation is to fulfill the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal is migration. Migration. Move. Keep moving. Keep moving. There is a migration from watan to watan. Hijratul awtan. From place to place. That can be required sometimes. There is a migration from hal to hal. That I am in a certain status of mind. I am in a certain status of heart. But I need to keep moving. Keep moving. If a person is in the status of ma'asiyah, he has to move to a status of ta'a. If a person is in the status of ghafla, he has to move to the status of dhikr. If a person is in the status of jahl, ignorance, he has to move to the status of ilm. So there is a hijra of ahwal, hijra of awtan, hijratul watan, and there is also hijratul hal. And Muslims throughout the history, they have been moving and they have been migrating from hal to hal and from place to place. This will keep our religion intact and this will keep our religion preserved. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I just would like to mention two things. One is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fast on the Ashura. Ashura is the 10th of Muharram. Ashura, we are in the month of Muharram. And today is 9th of Muharram. Tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fast on Ashura. It is not fard, but it is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last year, before he departed, he expressed his wish that he would like to add one more day to Ashura. That's why the ulama have said that we should fast 2 days, either 9th of Muharram and 10th of Muharram, or 10th and 11th of Muharram. So people who have fasted today, they can add tomorrow, so that will be 9th and 10th. And somehow if somebody could not fast today, you can fast tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, and that will fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is a great virtue that this will wipe out the sins of the previous year. And one more thing is that alhamdulillah, from Monday, the Darul Uloom is going to open. Madrasa is going to open from Monday. And at Darul Uloom, Chicago, we have Hifz classes, Hifz program, Alimiya program for boys and also for girls on weekdays, and also for girls on the weekend as well. And this is a great opportunity Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with. So please encourage as many people as possible to enroll their kids in the Hifz program and also in the Alimiya program as well. They can do, if they want to continue their academics, they can do Hifz plus academics, which we have the STEM program, and they can also do Alimiya plus their high school program as well. Jazakumullah khairan. InshaAllah, so it will start from Monday.